another episode of the Cook, Eat, Nourish podcast with me, Fiona Staunton of Fiona's Food for Life. Today I'm going to talk all about menu planning, how to value your time, reduce stress, and maximize the nutrients that you're getting on a daily basis. So first of all, in terms of menu planning, the advantages. Number one, it's going to increase your health and happiness. Two, you can get organized and reduce the stress. And three, save time and money. So you're reducing waste, you're using leftovers, that's all part of your plan. You can spend less on groceries. You can save time by not going to the supermarket as much. A part of your plan, you might go once and perhaps go to a fishmonger's or your local market as a, you know, as a top up at a certain stages during the week. And I think it increases your ability to have a healthy choice and connect with the family. Get family members involved as to what they would like for the meal so that it isn't all on one person's shoulder. So really, I think menu planning, it's both an art and a science. An art in the skillful blending of colour, texture and flavour. And a science in the wise choice of food for optimum nutrition and digestion. So I suppose the question today is, do you think there is room to improve your menu planning? And how can I help you with this podcast? So first of all, I suppose the best thing is to look at the principles of menu planning. I would tend to look at six different principles. The first is balanced. I would tend to look at a plant-based diet, but I would have, say, meat and fish, and they are playing the supporting roles, but you're having a great, you know, a balance of your diet. And particularly the Mediterranean style diet is the one that I would encourage people to follow. So number one is balance. Number two is variety. For your gut health and your variety in terms of getting the fiber and the different vitamins and minerals, see if you can have 30 different touch points of plant-based foods over the course of a week. So say, for example, you are making a curry and you have lemongrass and chili and ginger and garlic and lime, all of those type of things in the marinade. Well, then you've got about four or five different touch points there. And maybe you're steaming up celeriac, edamame beans, broccoli, cauliflower, whatever you choose. That could be another four or five. And then you might be having it with, say, a whole grain rice. So that might just be one meal, and that's a way that you can look at getting the variety. So really, I suppose you don't want to have carrots and broccoli every day. And a lot of the time people say to me that it's when it's cooking for one person where that can be really tricky. And one of the ideas there would be edamame beans or peas. They're in the freezer. They can be taken out in exactly one portion if you like. Sometimes doing stir fries where you're mixing different vegetables in can be really useful. And it's also reducing the waste because you can use bits, you know, you might have a pepper that will be used one day in a salad, another day in a sauce, and the other third of it might be used in a stir fry if you are, for example, cooking for one. So looking at our principles, we've got balanced, variety, everybody's involved. That's my third one. I think everyone in the household needs to buy in. And I think people learn respect for others' choices and preferences. So you might have someone who, you know, really wants their lots of lean protein and they want a big chicken breast, etc. Or you might have someone who likes to eat vegetarian, or somebody in the house who might like to make sure they're getting their oily fish in during the week. And I think it limits the repetition, but it also allows people to have respect for other people's choices, knowing that their meal is going to come one of the days and hopefully they'll cook it as well. The fourth one would be adaptable. So I like dishes that are quite adaptable. They can be used again, say, the next day with a lunch, or they could be used. You could mix things in. The curry that I was speaking about at the beginning of the podcast is actually the rendang curry that I make. And that can be really good. You can put in protein or tofu, a protein like tofu or chicken into that. It doesn't just have to be vegetables. So it can be quite adaptable and added at different stages so that you're meeting everybody's needs. Then the fifth one I have, and it's probably one of my favorites, cook once and eat twice or more. So one effort yielding lots. I'm a big fan of that. So this morning I made up my red lentil dal. I made up one big batch while listening to a podcast, wandering around the kitchen. And I will get about 8 different portions out of that one batch that I made. So that 20 minutes effort could give 8 meals. So that's what I'm thinking of. If I would do, say, lamb shanks at the weekend in a slow cooker, I would create more so that I could have it for another day. So I might pop it in the freezer, or it might be for a lunch or a dinner, you know, 2 days later. Obviously, you don't want to eat the same food lots of days in a row, but you can use your freezer and you can be mindful in your menu planning to divide it all out. And the sixth one is to be flexible. When I'm teaching menu planning, it's not prescriptive, but it's more about what'll work for you. So if suddenly a meeting comes up one day and you're not going to be around in the evening, change the Thursday dinner to the Tuesday, or, you know, swap or change them as things happen. As we're heading into the summer season, often in my house, if it's a nice sunny day, I get vetoed on whatever's planned for dinner and it turns into a barbecue. So just to try and be flexible, to go over those principles again, we've got balanced, variety, get everyone involved, adaptable, cook once and eat twice or more, or one effort yielding lots, and then flexible. So the next area to look at would be saving time. First of all, I would start with a list of go-to recipes. Recipes that you know how to make, you know that people will enjoy, it's manageable. So have that basic list. That'll be the first thing. Number two will be to plan ahead. Work on whatever day works for you. In my house, I do all the planning on a Sunday and I go to the supermarket at 7 a.m. on a Monday. The shelves are stocked overnight. It's fully stocked. It's nice and quick. And I'm in and out of the week's shop in about half an hour. So do plan ahead. Number three would be to stock up on basics. So I'm talking about basics being eggs. So if nobody feels like making, just make an omelette, do a scrambled egg. That can be a meal. Oats, porridge, muesli, those type of things. That can be a meal. It doesn't have to be a breakfast. A nice yogurt, some natural yogurt you might put some berry compote or fresh berries into. Then always have peas and corn, things like that in the freezer. So it's just handy to grab and go. So you could even put the eggs together with the peas or corn and make a frittata. And then pasta is always a really good basic to have. And tuna. I love jars of the Shine's tuna, or you get your tins of tuna. Having those available can just mean that you can make a meal in minutes. So in terms of saving time, the fourth one there will be cook once, eat twice, which you mentioned earlier. And then number five would be batch cook. When I think of batch cooking, I would think of, say, I would make a large bolognese. That bolognese could then be used for a spaghetti bolognese. It could be used to make into a lasagna. I could add beans into it. It could be used to make a chili. Or if I was making a large a chicken tikka, I would make a large batch of it. Some of it could be used for wraps or sandwiches, or it could be used as a salad, or it could be used as a curry in a main meal, or something like a dal. So that's where I would kind of think of batch cooking, where I'd be making lots of different batches and it could be used for different meals throughout the course of a week or a fortnight. Next one is keep it simple. Tray bakes, frittatas, they can just be so simple. So with a tray bake, I'll get either a whole pile of root veg or maybe a whole pile of Mediterranean veg, chop them up. I'll tend to use chicken thighs with the skin on, and then I'll pop it into a hot oven, 45 minutes to an hour. The skin is lovely and crispy. The moistness from the chicken will help keep all of the vegetables moist, and the whole thing is cooked in one tray and it's done. Frittata is the other thing that I've mentioned, where it's like a very thick omelette almost. So you'll start cooking it in the pan and I'll finish it off in the grill. And you can just, it's a great way of using up leftovers, of adding in things that people like. I'll often put feta and peas in it. So it can be, you can make up a meal from just what you have in the cupboard without going to any great effort. So the seventh one would be check the ingredients. So before you go to the shops or plan your meals, see what do you have, what needs to be used up, making sure that you're, you know, reducing any waste. Next one will be schedule. So when are you going to cook? So if Monday is your really busy day, well, you know, don't plan the meal that takes a bit of time then. And also the days that you are perhaps out and, you know, one of the kids are going to throw the food into the oven and cook it for you. Just you make sure that you plan and schedule around what works for you and the household. And number nine, probably most important, shop with a list. Make sure you've got a list and you're marking it off as you go around the supermarket and it's categorized into the different areas and you get what you need to get. By all means, make use of special offers, but don't shop when you're hungry and without a list. It'll just take a whole lot longer. So the other side then is to maximize your nutritional benefit. So number one will be really to increase protein. So on average, you're looking at 20 grams of protein per meal, keeping in mind that it is about 5 to 7 grams in one egg. So you'd be looking at maybe a cup of quinoa, 80 grams of tofu, 25 grams of cheddar, a quarter cup of almonds, a half a cup of black beans, a third of a cup of Greek yogurt, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, or 20 grams of pumpkin seeds. That's kind of where you're looking at your trying to get your 20 grams per meal. There's some of the things that can help you. So number one, increase your protein. Number two, eat a rainbow. Number three, eat with the seasons. I hate going to the supermarket and seeing green veg package that has flown halfway around the world. I just will not buy it. Number four will be to slow down. So a lesson I still have to learn lots, but when you are eating, to try and slow down so that you can maximize nutritional benefit from it. Drink lots of water, except when you're eating. So ideally, as soon as you wake in the morning, drink a couple of glasses of water and then later on in the evening. So ideally, you don't want to drink a lot while you're eating because that'll dilute the digestive juices, but do drink a lot of water throughout the day. Consider a balanced plate. So you want half your plate to be vegetables, 1/4 whole grain and 1/4 protein. And number seven will be supplement if necessary. So I hope that has helped you in terms of planning your meals. You can download my menu planner through the link below. But hopefully each of these tips will help you. And these are some of the things that I cover in the different courses, including in my 6-week menopause cooking course, which I have coming up after Easter. If you're listening to this when it goes out in April 2024. But I hope I've inspired you and helped you and given you some ideas in this quick podcast to value your time, reduce your stress, and maximize your nutrients. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I really would appreciate if you could rate and give it a 5-star review and perhaps share it with friends. That will help the podcast be seen by a lot more people and it'll help get it out there. Hope you have a great day.